News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, 8:07 on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Arwig, Sean Sullivan in for Dan Brennan today.
Good morning. Morning. Howdy, y'all.
And the big news from this weekend came from Fox News Sunday, no longer hosted by Chris Wallace. They had Brett Baer in the seat yesterday. Right. I wonder if Baer is the guy now.
He'd be perfect for that gig.
Yeah.
I think he does a great job. I could see that.
I think so. He's probably the most well-known straightforward, I'll say that in quotes, straightforward journalist they have there, even though he really is as apolitical as anyone on there.
That's right.
I'm sure he certainly has his take on the current events. But Chris Wallace, I don't think his CNN Plus show has begun.
No. Whether he'll interview. It starts in the new year, the streaming platform.
Who's his first?
Because just a side note, I want to play this clip from Manchin. We're going to talk about the Build Back Better. And now Pelosi talking about they're going to come take another bite at this apple. But for a second, just for a second. So, okay, CNN's ratings are in the tank.
Yes.
No good. When former President Trump left office, they didn't have anything to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so
talk about their own drama.
Right, their own things that go on there at CNN. But so you're going to move to a pay platform online. So you can't get ratings on the free, or it's not free, though, it's cable, but the ubiquitous, CNN. So you're going to make your money on the streaming app.
Yeah.
Where people pay the membership, even though your ratings are, at least with Fox, they've got issues because they get demonetized, right? So they have shows like Tucker Carlson Tonight or whatever that do quite well in the ratings, but the advertisers stay away. That's why you see, buy a star for your dog or whatever advertised there during his show.
Yeah. Yeah,
name a star for your dog. So they move things to an app platform to try to monetize it, not getting too much into our business, but they're doing that to try to make up for the revenue lost by not getting mainstream advertisers on those shows. But CNN gets all the mainstream advertisers on the shows because it's this
safe.
I don't know how it's safe. It's virtue signaling to buy the advertising there, even though they don't get the ratings that Fox News does. They get very little. But then they're going to ask people to go to the next level and pay for that service.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if it's a big profit center
now,
for them.
The difference, though, and we'll get to the Manchin thing, but CNN has a lot of other shows that people may want to watch, like the Anthony Bourdain shows and some of the other programming they have.
That's what's going to lead.
I don't know if you've seen Fox Nation recently. It's basically Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Dan Bongino if you're into him.
Yeah.
And then all the rest are like, I'm not joking, Hallmark Christmas movies.
Are they really?
Yeah, they've got all
another
kinds of...
Another reason for me not to subscribe.
So, but I'm sure that Chris Wallace interviewing Big Bird or whoever his first guest is coming up.
Listen, and the thing that I don't get that Chris Wallace would take, they must have thrown a lot of money at him.
I think the opposite. I think he wasn't going to get much money from Fox, and it was kind of time to jump ship. Because if you haven't noticed over the last couple of years... maybe not everyone, but a lot of people have turned on Chris Wallace.
Oh, they have, and that, I would defend him on occasion. There were a few times where I said Chris Wallace was out of line there, but a lot of times when conservatives were like, that Chris Wallace, I'm like, he's doing his job. He's being a journalist. He's asking hard questions. They're not there to cheerlead for the Republicans. They're, unless it's an opinion show.
Right.
But you think it was, and we'll see.
And Wallace probably.
I just don't see how that's going to work. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I don't know how a CNN premium item is going to be successful.
And Wallace probably still would have gotten the sound clip heard around the nation yesterday from Joe Manchin on Fox News Sunday. And they were discussing the Build Back Better bill. Of course, there's been all kinds of wrangling, and they're trying to get Manchin and, to a lesser extent, Sinema to sign on it, although they need both equally, the Democrats, in order to get this past the Senate. But Manchin has been the main name in all of this. And yesterday, he says he just can't do it. Here was Manchin on Fox News Sunday.
So when you have these things coming at you the way they are right now, I've always said this, Brett, if I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no on this legislation. I have tried everything I know to do.
So Manchin, inflation is one of the biggest words he keeps using as a reason for not voting for it. And he also feels like the Democrats are trying to maybe not so sneakily move this through at the cost of $2 trillion, while the Congressional Budget Office came out and said, it's actually closer to $5 trillion. And Manchin's been saying the same thing, that they've packaged this as a $2 trillion package, but most of these programs are short-term, and the intent is for those programs to become more long-term over time.
Sure.
And that would add to the cost. Now, if they're going to get it through the Senate by this 51-50 vote, with the vice president getting involved, they would still need the Senate parliamentarian to sign on to allow this to be used via budget reconciliation, which they've used a couple times already during the Biden administration. The parliamentarian's already come out and marked with the red pen through a couple of the things, including some in regards to immigration. But if it's a $5 trillion bill, they'll have to show $5 trillion that can be made up via taxing.
Well, it's
or
not going to cost anything. We're told it's zero.
No one will have to pay anything for it.
Right. Okay. Couple things. First of all, the blade that cuts here cuts deeply, because if inflation is the reason Manchin wouldn't vote for this, this can't go through without causing inflation, and therefore he's saying, but in this time of inflation, I can't vote for it.
Right.
So he's almost given himself a complete safety net on that. Number two here, that there are so many parts of this that are bad that it takes away. People will come out, and people from the left, and people are upset, which, by the way, thank you, President Biden and Psaki and everything, for saying that the CBO is partisan to the right. Because y'all said it's, you know, I mean, before, CBO is everything, is just the whipping boy for whatever. Mm-hmm. But
if they're on your side, they're good.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, then next time they're bad.
Right.
Okay. I would look at this and say that Manchin, I told you this morning, I didn't think Manchin was ever going to vote for it. And I think some of this, which you'll hear from the left, and I think there is some truth to this, that Manchin and Sinema have big business in their ear, big donors in their ear saying, don't do this. Y'all are Democrats, but don't do this. The gravy train is going to end. What gives them the protection to vote no on this is all the other junk that's in the Build Back Better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gonna attack them. You'll hear the left today, and you'll probably read the left today, attacking Sinema and Manchin on voting no because of these corporate interests that fund campaigns. But the Democrats that put this thing together, this monstrosity, gave them so many outs that they shouldn't be worried about getting called down on just the one, because there are so many things that are poison pills to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the spending is the easiest thing. So Manchin can go and say no. What did he say? He didn't, in that clip there with Bret Baier, he didn't say no because of these things like child care and all these different programs, you know, the social programs. He just said, I can't do this. We can't spend this money. We're in an inflationary period as it is. We can't spend this money. It gives him almost a nonpartisan and fiscal-based reason to vote against it, mm-hmm. protecting him, I would think, from arguments from others. Like I said, they'll be levied today. The people will bring those arguments that it's, you know, corporatist Democrats, and there could be a big reason he voted no, but they've given him protections to vote no. He should have felt like he was in the catbird seat from day one. See what you can get, knowing they're not going to give it to you, and then vote no at the end of it and be protected, because you could say, it's not that I don't want kids to have child care. I don't want these expanded tax credits. I don't want this, that, and the other. It's that it's too much spending.
Right.
And it's inflationary times, and it's a risk to the people. When he goes to West Virginia and talks to West Virginians, I know Bernie says, oh, he's going to have to go answer the West Virginians. When he goes answer to people in the state, said, I couldn't vote for this because this would absolutely finally bankrupt us to a point we couldn't come back from. And
right.
It protects him from any kind of arrows slung from the Democrats.
And it's funny, anyone else in his party, you're saying, how can he face the West Virginians after this? Well, he's the one who has to face them, not them.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do just fine.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more when we get back, plus what some of the Democrats are saying about Manchin on Mobile Mornings.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
There it is, 821 FM Talk. 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. I guess it is that time of year, isn't it? We've officially made it.
Yeah, we're there. It's less than a week.
And what did Dr. Bill say? 75 Christmas Day, 75 degrees.
That's right. So it'll be one of those T-shirt and shorts Christmases.
Yeah.
We started talking about it, I guess, in the 6 o'clock hour or the maybe last hour about the 89 Christmas when the bay froze and all that. So, yeah, we've had some cold Christmases. We've had plenty of warm Christmases as well. You can go back, if you're my age, and look through the photo albums where we actually printed photos and put them in the album. And look at over the years, like being out in the front yard, no shoes, T-shirt, you know, shorts, and playing with whatever Star Wars toy it is.
Yeah. You know? We started the discussion last night. How are we going to get our kids in some snow? We're not going to see it this year, it doesn't seem. Maybe next year we will, but we're already trying to plan out future vacations and how we might be able to get the
closest
the now 2-year-old and 1-year-old into some snow.
You drive it or flying?
We will drive.
Okay, so I would say, I mean, the closest.
East Tennessee, is that what you're thinking?
That'd be the first place I'd start looking, and then working your way up, you know, if you have to, up in through West Virginia and going north there. But yeah, I would say there are some years that, like Gatlinburg and all that kind of stuff, get snow, and they can make the snow up there.
Yeah, you know, so they have the flurry machines,
yes,
for sure. Yeah, I'm just hoping maybe it'll come to us next year. Maybe it'll snow down here, but it ain't happening this year.
No,
that's for sure. Joe Manchin is in the news this weekend after a visit on Fox News Sunday yesterday, where he said he ain't voting for it. He can't do that to his constituents. Can't vote for the Build Back Better bill, and now he's catching all kinds of heat from Democrats, and probably one of the most outspoken of those Democrats is Bernie Sanders, who thinks that they should go ahead and vote on the Build Back Better bill. Even with Manchin say he would vote no, Sanders wants to see him do it in public.
We've been dealing with Mr. Manchin for month after month after month. But if he doesn't have the courage to do the right thing for the working families of West Virginia and America, let him vote no in front of the whole world.
So, you know, we kind of knew the play from Democrats after Manchin said he'd be a no vote. And they haven't even waited until now. They've been throwing bombs at Manchin for months now, especially when you look at the far left progressives, including Ilhan Omar, who tweeted yesterday, "Let's be clear, Manchin's excuse is bull blank." The people, she spelled it all the way out.
Wow.
The people of West Virginia would directly benefit from child care, pre-Medicare expansion, and long-term care, just like Minnesotans. This is exactly what we warned would happen if we separated Build Back Better from infrastructure. So remember
what they warned is that they separate them, the support wouldn't be there. So they're telling you that attaching them would get something across the goal line that did not have the support. Well, to go, way to go, Ilhan Omar, to tell us.
Exactly. But it ended up being the young guns, the progressive left, who were bamboozled in all of this because they wanted to act like they were standing firm, no vote on infrastructure unless this passed.
Right.
They were told the Biden administration would find a way to get the Build Back Better bill through, so they went ahead and voted on infrastructure, and now they're looking at Manchin and at the Biden administration basically saying, you promised you would get this through.
Well,
Manchin says no, but look at how divided from the farthest left wing of the party to Manchin, even though I'm sure maybe there's a few that are a little more moderate or a little more right wing than Manchin than the Democrat Party. The Biden administration, and I don't feel bad for them, but they're in a tough spot because they need to make this bill that's now, at, they say, around $2 trillion, make it light enough and cut enough off the top so that Manchin feels good supporting it. But then it would go back through the House.
Yes.
And the progressive left would not vote for that kind of bill. So they're trying to find that medium.
Fool me twice, right.
And they're not going to find it.
Here's Nancy Pelosi to the rescue. It's a story from Fox News this morning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi may have an ambitious New Year's resolution to revive President Biden's Build Back Better plan that was dealt a major blow on Sunday after Senator Manchin. Okay. Democrats knew that they could not spare a single vote because of the 50-50 split in the Senate. Pelosi called the developments disappointing, end quote, but vowed more negotiations. She said she's hopeful that we will soon, reach an agreement so this vital legislation can pass as soon as possible next year. All right, so they're coming back. Of course, Manchin's saying no, but like you just said, it goes back into the House here, and then it's, in the domain of Speaker Pelosi.
For more on that,
all right, so Pelosi says they can do it. Pelosi said in a statement released last night that there was an agreement on the, quote, fundamental framework, end quote, of the plan, with a focus on most critical provisions, end quote, that included the child tax credit, like you said, expanding home health care and strengthening the Affordable Care Act. She said the, quote, inflation fighting package, end quote, is a...
I can't even do it.
The inflation-fighting package is a plan that will actually cut government costs, a claim that has been challenged by Republicans. Mm-hmm. We went from it being revenue neutral, it's cutting costs now.
Yeah, and it's fighting inflation. This is the most amazing bill I've ever heard.
It's a hell of a bill here.
It's a transformer bill. Whatever you need.
Yes.
Even when Biden visited Kentucky last week after the terrible tornadoes that tore through there, he says, listen, this bill will fix all this. You won't have an... He didn't say it, but...
We have a bill for
you won't
that.
Have another tornado in Kentucky after we pass this bill.
Remember that... What was the old... The Apple... We got an app for that?
Yeah, we have an app for that.
We have a bill for that. Whatever it is, we got a bill for that.
Exactly. And the left-leaning media, some would say they're lying down on the left. That's how far left they lean, but they're not taking this well either. Mehdi Hasan with MSNBC. What's worse, that Manchin is killing the Biden legislative agenda and perhaps the future of American democracy, or that he wasted most of this year dragging this whole thing out to do it and wasted half of the time that the Dems control Congress and the White House. So we saw it when Obama came into office. He had the House. I think he had the Senate. And they got next to nothing done his first 2 years.
They
got the Affordable Care Act, but nothing like they had planned.
No, but somebody says, you know.
Trump had the House when he came in.
Right.
They didn't get nearly enough done, according to Republicans. And now you have Biden with the House and Senate, and his main deal that he wanted to get across the finish line.
Signature legislation.
It ain't going anywhere, it looks like.
Well, and once again, there are a lot of reasons that this didn't happen. Okay? And some of them are because of corporate interest here. They are. But they put enough other crap on this thing that made it a defensible vote no for Democrats. Got to look at it through, I mean, Joe Manchin is a Democrat. So through Democrat eyes, moderate Democrat eyes, they made it very defensible to vote no for Manchin, even though the influence may have come from somewhere else.
Right. And it's interesting what you said about Pelosi and saying they still have the framework of the deal in place. One of the first things she mentioned was the child tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've been reading things correctly, that's one of the main things that Manchin is opposed to, is the child tax credit, basically. And we were looking at our bank accounts again yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Child tax credit came through, and, you know, my wife and I, a couple that don't necessarily need that money, how many of us are out there that are just getting these $600 checks?
Right.
And I know there are people who need it, or you could put quotes around that, need it, who are getting that money. But for the most part, it just seems and is a stimulus payment to people who may just be out there working and moving on with their lives.
But, you know, both sides have done this. I mean, you know, former President Trump did this as well. Yeah, if you could be in a position where you could stroke a check and give every American X number of dollars, there's a big temptation if you want to be, because you're not running for the presidency if you don't like being popular.
Right.
Right. And so if you just give everybody money today, not worried about what happens tomorrow or 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, there's a big temptation to go, look, I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Here you go. And a check for you and a check for you and a check for you.
Do you think any of those politicians, do you think they actually think, okay, once I get elected again, then I can fix this problem? Or is it all about the short term? It's just like, do you think?
Well, you can't ever get to the long term if you don't win the short term.
Good point. But who does this hurt in the short term? Does it hurt Manchin? He says that on a 3-1 basis, West Virginians rejected the Build Back Better bill.
I think there's no political implication to the negative for Manchin in West Virginia.
But is it possible this actually helps Democrats in the midterms by this not going through?
No.
So they're the big loser in this, you think?
Yep.
What do you think? 251-343-0106. Thanks, Kane. 834 on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile mornings on a Monday. Right now, time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. I want to know what you have on the lot there at McConnell. Did you get any trades this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we did. We got a bunch of trades, to be honest with you. Got a traded in a 2020 Denali with a roof, Duramax, three-quarter ton, four-wheel drive. It's nice. We got a few Acadias in, got a Honda Ridgeline, a couple of four-wheel drive pickup trucks, some BMWs. I mean, we got a great selection of stuff. You can check all that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget, if you're looking for some Christmas money, you got a little car in the yard you want to get rid of, call Gene, 251-476-4141. Give them the VIN and the miles and a little description of the car and give you a price right over the phone. Like I said, we are buying cars. We got some new stuff coming in. Might want to give those guys over there a call. They'll let you know exactly what's coming in. I know there's a couple of AT4s and a couple of Yukons coming in that's not sold. You can call them over there at 251-476-4141.
All right. It's all very easy. McConnell Automotive, they make it that way for you. All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Did you see this? Did SNL have to cancel their episode this weekend or not?
Well, I thought that they went away from the live show and ended up putting on, maybe they did cancel the entirety of it. I know that they were still doing live shows, and then this weekend everything changed because of the Omicron variant.
They had a break, outbreak.
Yeah.
Among the crew of SNL who are...
Maybe they canceled the whole thing.
100% vaccinated cast and crew.
That seems to be happening a lot, doesn't it?
There's people that... I mean, the vaccination is leading to people having less symptoms, and those things are good. But as much grief as they gave Aaron Rodgers, you know, about questioning, then they have this... I mean, I got to find out. I don't know. They may have pulled it off.
There's a headline that says SNL COVID outbreak cancels Paul Rudd live audience appearance, but it sounds like they were able to. Yeah, SNL powers through COVID outbreak.
God bless them. Their bravery.
One's a year and a half old. they powered through. I think they went ahead and did the live show, but I wouldn't know because I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore. If there's a good bit or something. We did get a text. We were talking about the CNN Plus, the new streaming app, and Fox Nation, which I'm currently paying for. I'm not sure how much longer I will. Because, you know, the Tucker Carlson interviews on there are very interesting. He basically has like an hour-long semi-podcast kind of thing where he sits down and talks with people in depth about certain things that he wouldn't have that kind of time to talk with them on his nightly show. And that seems to me... to be the only reason to pay for the Fox Nation app. Other than that, all I see are, and I'm not joking, like the Hallmark Christmas movies or whatever holiday is coming up, whenever they've stacked this Fox app with all kinds of movies like that. And Cindy says on the text line, I know your audience is not full of Hallmark watchers, but I do watch Hallmark Christmas movies, and I have to tell you, they are woke now. So maybe that's the Fox News in. Maybe they're going to snatch that Hallmark Christmas movie audience away.
It doesn't want the woke messaging in the thing where the guy comes back home after all these years and like he went to high school with the girl and
you take those movies, you add
there's
a little,
no shooting, there's no lasers and no spaceships and those things.
Add a little Mike Lindell, and then you end up with the Fox Nation Christmas movies. Meg says that SNL did do a live show with no audience and a limited cast, so maybe it was 15 bits with Keenan. Keenan.
Now there's a show that I would watch if they would come back on Saturday nights and just have Kenan Thompson do the whole show. I would watch that show.
Everything, Weekend Update, the monologue, everything.
He's one of the funniest men that's come through there in the last couple decades. I would say he's like in my Mount Rushmore of funny people on SNL, and bringing in the old greats there. But Kenan makes it. Yeah, he makes the cut.
And smart too, because he didn't do the whole Horatio Sands or whatever. Where you think you have a career after SNL,
right?
He saw the tea leaves. He read the tea leaves, and he said, "I'm just going to stay here as long as I possibly can."
That dude's funny.
David says, "How appropriate is it that the senator from West Virginia is the one that gave the president a lump of coal for Christmas with his no vote on Build Back Better? All of these progressives exploding on Twitter is the best Christmas present that Manchin could have ever given me," says David.
Yes, like I said this morning as we started the show, the most popular person among Republicans this morning is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said something interesting before we went on the air.
Yeah.
I know we don't talk often about what we say off the air, but you said a Democrat for now. Do you really think Manchin would switch parties? I don't think
it depends on who's running in 2024.
Mm.
It depends on who ends up, being the the presidential candidate.
So if Trump runs, which by everything we've seen, it looks like he will.
If Trump runs and is getting support, it may give Manchin some cover. Here's the thing, though. Manchin represents a moderate Democrat of old. Now, do I, once again, there's so much Washington on both sides, y'all, that they're doing, you know, what corporate groups want them to do. But the thing is, if you can find a way to make that fit in with your ideology, it pays to do that. But Manchin represents an old idea of what Democrats were that is super successful in places like West Virginia, super successful even in places like Pennsylvania, outside the super liberal, you know, Pittsburgh and Philly, Ohio and Illinois and those places. Those people went with Trump because of a populist message. Right? That
right.
It was different than like a big business Republican message.
He won Manchin, the unions, right?
Manchin represents that kind of – the political similarities between what President Trump would say on domestic issues and what Joe Manchin says on domestic – are pretty darn close. I think there would be a chance if former President Trump is running again. If it's the DeSantis-Gabbard dream ticket – it runs. How about that for discussion? DeSantis and Gabbard?
With Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
No chance.
It'd be, she would switch the Republican Party, and then you would run DeSantis and Gabbard.
Yeah.
Through, and then at that point, I don't think Manchin switches, but if it's former President Trump and he's getting support, I don't know. I'll just throw that out. Do you think Manchin would switch parties?
Well, anytime Republicans or Democrats see someone else that might be willing to switch parties, you know, they're all welcoming arms, but if that were to happen, if Gabbard and or Manchin and or Sinema switched parties, a lot of their political opinions don't line up with the right. And whether it's
which part, you know, of the
abortion
right,
or what it
the
may be.
The abortion thing is exactly where it is. So that is the touchstone.
But
right?
It's hilarious to me that you have the Ilhan Omars and the Bernie Sanders coming out and telling Manchin what he should do for his people, because while I think there are a lot of poor people in West Virginia who would love to see that gravy train keep on rolling, keep seeing those checks come in from the feds. But I think more than anything, especially in a state like West Virginia, their midterm vote and their 2024 vote has everything to do with energy and nothing to do with a whole lot of other things the Democrats claim that it is.
But not energy
the first
policy,
step to shut
the jobs.
To shut down that pipeline, first thing he did in office, West Virginians did not like that because they saw the way the winds were blowing and how much of their economy is made off of energy that's harvested right here in the U.S., and it's clear that the Democrats don't want any part to do with that.
The real attack on coal came when former President Obama was elected. Okay, that started that,
right,
and really challenged the job situation in West Virginia. Are they going to need to change what they do for a living there? Yeah, a lot of them are going to need to. But their ideals beyond that, do you think the average, and I don't know, I mean, there's no way to know what's in people's hearts or minds, but the average West Virginia Democrat, not on the edges, not on the fringes, the core average, do they line up more with Ilhan Omar or Joe Manchin?
Oh, Manchin, easily. Okay.
What is the face of the Democrat Party going forward? Is it Manchin or is it Omar? Is it the squad?
Yeah.
So eventually that the party moves away from the voters, right? That party will drift to a certain point that in some states it's hyper-representing some, maybe the left in California or New York, but it's going to leave. Like in the South, people talked about it, but let's look at West Virginia. It's going to the Democrat Party that they voted for, that is Joe Manchin, that is what they want, will eventually leave them. And so either they will leave the candidate or the candidate will leave the Democrat Party and move to another party.
Yeah. I think a lot of people that voted for Biden thought they were returning to a more center,
how'd that work?
Center-led government. And now they see how far left Biden's policies actually are. Do you think a lot of those people will bolt back to the Republican Party, or is it just a case where they stop voting because they realize that you're voting between two extremes,
no
matter what?
And that is another problem. You get this now the populism part, and the part that really would put me at odds with former President Trump a lot, because idealistically, as a conservative, the populism thing is there are parts of populism I'm for, but generally not.
In many ways, it goes directly against conservatism.
It goes against conservatism, but wherever that populist vote, if there's somebody who can represent that better than their individual parties do, they will outperform the parties.
Mm.
And I think we saw that with former President Trump outperforming the party because he had this populist message. It was different than the other Republicans with the 19 that were on the stage during the primaries. And you will see that same effect on the Democrat side. Mm-hmm. I think as the party continues to move away from now, they will get more votes nationally because there's more groups and more people to vote for them. But in a West Virginia, they're going to walk away from that party.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Now, if Manchin does switch parties, Bob says Liz Cheney will become a Democrat, so it all comes out in the wash anyway. David says,
do you know how long that would last? Is Liz Cheney running as a Democrat in Wyoming?
Wouldn't. And how long before the Democrats turn on Cheney? Right now, she's their golden girl, kind of like Manchin is the quote-unquote hero of the right with this Build Back Better news. But, I mean, the Democrats have never liked the Cheneys. The only reason they like Liz Cheney now is because of her war on President Trump and everyone who was in his circle. So I don't think that those feelings would last long either. David says, Senator Manchin will not ever switch political parties. He's like old Alabama Southern Democrats that remain Democrats. They owe so much of their political success to Democrats that they would never abandon the Democratic Party. So there's a take on whether Manchin would switch sides from David. And we want to hear your takes, too. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. It also works for the phones. You can call and get on the air. And we'll come back to wrap up Mobile Mornings. How about that Sims statue unveiling? Admiral Sims in the Mobile Museum of History. We'll talk about that when we get back. 251-343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Sean Sullivan in for Dan Brennan today and tomorrow. Dan will be back this week to lead us into Christmas. Quick perusal of the headlines, Sean. Search AAA Travel.
So what is AAA saying, huh?
AAA says 109 million Americans to travel this holiday season.
Don't say.
They predict 34% more travel this holiday season with higher prices and lower traffic. And then finally, holiday travel buzzing, but some making last-minute cancellations due to Omicron. So that's a quick run through the AAA Google this morning.
And you know, travel, like, so some of my family going out of the country here after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had the vaccination. Then now they've got to have a
boost
PCR test or booster.
Okay.
Or both, I think, to get on to go overseas.
Hmm.
So I mean, it's like, and the PCR test is like only good, has a short shelf.
They have like to 2 days or something like that?
Yeah, they have to get it like the day after Christmas have it to be able to go the next day.
Which still makes almost no sense because in those 2 days you can still catch COVID. It's everything has to line up perfectly for you to travel outside of the U.S. now.
And there's people that have had, I mean, we just looked at the story of Senators Booker and Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Both have had the booster and everything, and both tested positive for Omicron.
Yeah, and you see it through all sports now. I mean, the NBA says they're 97% vaccinated, and they've had to shut games down. NHL, same thing. NFL have decided they're just going to stop testing those who are vaccinated and asymptomatic. And I think that's the first in many soon-to-be-falling dominoes. I think more companies and sports leagues will do the same thing and say, hey, if you're vaccinated and you don't have any symptoms, we're just going to keep this train rolling.
So the new world is that if you are vaccinated and with booster and spread COVID, you're not bad. But if the person's not have the booster and they spread COVID, then they're bad.
That's the way things are lining up.
Okay,
yeah.
Just checking.
But that's because these much-heralded vaccines, people still catching the virus.
And this is not anti-vax. You know, I know it's a popular thing in this format, just be anti-vaccine. It's not. It's shown that a lot of these people have a lot fewer, symptoms, and it's shorter duration and all that because they've had a vaccine.
Right.
That's fine. But at some point, we get with the booster thing. It's like, you know, people, there will be a point, even for those that are just bear hugging the love this, the love all the, they will tire I mean, that's not even, the problem is that's not science, that's human nature. They'll tire another booster, mm-hmm. you know, when does it end, people will ask.
Yeah, I think more and more people are coming to that conclusion. Let's go to the phone lines, 251-343-0106, Walt in Somerdale. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
I just want to take a quick minute and thank you, your station, and all the listeners for all the help they gave us when we were doing all the Hurricane Ida recovery.
Oh, good. Good. How are your friends over there now? I mean, what's the situation?
I talked to them Saturday, and they completely gutted their house, and they're putting sheetrock up in it now, and they're making it.
Good.
There's a lot of people living in tents and campers and FEMA trailers, I guess we could call it. But, you know, people are getting their feet back on the ground.
Well, I'm glad. You were making haul after haul from Somerdale, you know, heading over. You're in Thibodaux, right? Or that area?
Homa.
You're in Homa. That's Homa. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then down south was towards Dulac and Fouchon and mm-hmm. a lot of different places like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to thank you personally and then to thank the listeners of your station for all the generous support and help they did. So this wasn't the first we started doing this when the tornadoes hit T-Town.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, Sean, you helped coordinate a bunch of that. Got donations sent to all the stores.
Well, it takes folks like you, Walt, to do it and make the hauls and put the connections together. This audience, I'm with you. This audience, the most awesome ever. If you point them in the right direction, how they can help somebody specifically or help an area specifically, they never cease to amaze me.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Well, once again, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas, guys, and y'all have a good one.
Merry Christmas to you and the full crew, Walt. Thank you. Thank you for everything, man.
Thanks. All right, thank you all. Bye-bye.
Walton Somerdale put a lot of hard work into delivering supplies to some of the hardest hit. And, you know, I'm so glad we didn't go through that locally this year.
Right.
Of course, had some storms hit Louisiana still. But after last year, man, we needed a year to regroup. That's for sure. So, you know, I wanted to talk about the new unveiling of the old statue at the Museum of Mobile.
Yeah.
The re-unveiling of Admiral Raphael Sims. Friday, Meg Fowler, who's the director of the Museum of Mobile, took some reporters through and showed the new home of the 9-foot-tall, 1,800-pound Admiral Sims, and he's located now there in the History Museum of Mobile. And that came after we really started talking about it again last week at the beginning of the week. Actually, it might have been 2 weeks ago when Ladd People Stadium called into Midday Mobile.
Right.
Jeff started wondering when Admiral Sims would call.
Right. And Jeff he's had the bolo for the Sims statue for a while.
And maybe the cell service in the History Museum of Mobile, not great. That's why we haven't heard from Sims. But I'm sure that Jeff will talk about that some on his show and maybe Midday Mobile as well. Because, Sean, I wanted to get to J.K. Rowling and this newest Quidditch story. Have you seen this?
No, what is she? Last time I saw Rowling, she had transgender community mad at her.
That's in same thing right here. Do you know what Quidditch is?
That's the thing they play on Harry Potter, right? They ride a broom around. It's like
it's
hockey on a broom or something.
It's a game that she invented in the Harry Potter novels.
Okay.
And it's the game they play out at Hogwarts, the school for the wizards. And that became, I guess, a real sport with nerds. I'll say it, nerds. Who loved the Harry Potter shows, then decided they could play Quidditch, except they could, why fly around on a broom when you could run around with a broom between your legs?
And do they skip as they do it?
I think they do. Right. Well, now, U.S. Quidditch and Major League Quidditch, MLQ for short.
Keep going.
I don't know if they've had any Omicron outbreaks in the Quidditch world. They put out a joint news release, U.S. Quidditch and Major League Quidditch, saying they will change their name because J.K. Rowling, who again invented the fake sport in her fictional novels, they're going to change their name because of her outspoken views on transgender issues.
Oh my God in heaven! Okay, so these nerds are playing this game from the Harry Potter novels. They love the universe of Harry Potter, right? But now they're going to change the name, but still skip along with a broom between their legs?
Exactly. They said in the statement, the leagues are hoping a name change can help us continue to distance ourselves from the works of J.K. Rowling, who has increasingly come under scrutiny for her anti-trans positions.
No, she's not anti. She's just saying what science says.
She's saying, follow the science.
Exactly. It's this world we're living in.
Are they going to have
Quidditch? Back in my day, Quidditch was a real sport.
That's right. If they have a J.K. Rowling book burning, it could change the temperature on this planet for a long time.
It could.